Welcome to the Kumbaya Podcast, where Amanda and Rebecca, twin sisters, naturally minded home birth mamas, and co-founders of Progressive Pregnancy. We're on a mission to help you have a more empowered entrance into motherhood. We'll bring awareness and offer support surrounding pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum journey. As a holistic pelvic floor physical therapist, I'll bring valuable insights and guidance during this critical time for your pelvic floor. We'll also bring on other holistic providers, experts, and guests to help you make this huge life transition easier. To learn more, head over to progressivepregnancy.com, or to see show notes and past episodes, visit kumbayalpodcast.com. Are you nervous about the pain of childbirth? If so, you'll want to check out our free Birth Mindset Mastery Move training. You'll discover the one simple move that's the best way to prepare for the pain of labor. This is Amanda. I did this move throughout my second pregnancy, and it's what I teach to my private patients and what we teach moms in Progressive Pregnancy. It can help you build confidence, increase your pain tolerance, and prepare your body for a more positive birthing experience. To get access today, go to progressivepelviceducation.com/birth mindset mastery. Hello again. Welcome back to the Kumbaya Podcast. I am so excited to be joined again by Dr. Shannon O'Brien, who is a chiropractor. And today we are going to dive into all about the Webster technique. But let's take a step back, Dr. Shannon, and I'd love for you to start with kind of sharing with people, maybe they don't know about chiropractic, right? They've never worked with a chiropractor. And so can you kind of start there? Like, why would someone want to work with a chiropractor? How could it benefit them during pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know. Loaded question, right? Where do
I know,
I
right? There's a lot there. So
yeah. Let me take it back to the beginning. So let me go through the big reasons why women are coming into the office during their pregnancy. So I'll highlight some of those because those are probably going to be some of the common things that, you know, listeners are experiencing as well. And we can kind of dive through that. So obviously there's going to be pain points. So I see a lot of women coming in with low back pain and all variations of it. And a lot of times too, there can be that sciatica component. So really radiating down to the glute, down the back of the whole entire leg, all the way to the foot. Sometimes it stops at the knee. So it's a little bit of like more of a piriformis syndrome, but that's kind of lumping into that. Okay. Low back pain, headaches. I hear that a lot with pregnancy too. Sometimes we blame the hormones. We love to blame the hormones for everything, but headaches is another big one. Pelvic pain in general, I hear from a lot of women, and it's just like, they're just like, I just feel a lot of pressure, lower pelvic pressure that continues to get more and more. Cause I talk about it in the office, I'm like, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but just wait till baby comes. And then pubic symphysis dysfunction. So that's a lot of women will talk about that, like with why it's termed lightning crotch. So that's one of the names I do like for some of these women conditions. Most of the names I don't, but lightning crotch really does describe what it is. So that's some of the pain points that I get. I see quite a few women with fetal malposition issues. So that can be breech where baby is head up, and there's lots of different ways they can be head up, you know, crisscross applesauce. They're sitting, they're kind of frank and just in a little V shape doing some gymnastics, just any sort of fetal malposition in that aspect. But then also with moms where they're like, maybe baby is transverse or sunny side up there. And, you know, they move a lot, but sometimes you can see that a little early on in some ultrasounds. Or the next, I guess, big thing is I see a lot of moms that just want wellness care. And they're just like, I feel great. The baby's in a great position from what I know. I don't really have anything. It's more of like, I just want this to go well. I just want to support myself. I just want this part of my birth support team. So I'm seeing more and more of that, which is nice. You know, I feel like the communication, the education is getting out there. But if I had to put like buckets of people, like those are the main buckets that people kind of fit into. So that's kind of the, I guess, the answer, like not the hows and whys of care, but more of what am I seeing in the office?
Right. So again, I feel like I know the answer, but I want to really dial in. Like if someone else doesn't know the answer, how could chiropractic help in the case that someone is just well? They're, you know, everything's fine. They don't really have a problem pain point that they're coming in for, but where could
chiropractic help if they are just like, I feel fine. I've heard it's good to see a chiropractor. Why would that help?
Mm-hmm. These are always really, really fun patients to work with, because I'm going to say something funny and then I'll backtrack, because it's kind of like they'll come in and get adjusted and then they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that I actually had X, Y, and Z going on. I'm like, yeah, you didn't realize you're messed up. No, that's what I was going to joke about. No, you're not messed up. But it's, there's still room for improvement, I guess. And it's a lot of like body and self-awareness that happens with those patients. So one of the big things, one of the most common things I hear after adjustments, this is across the board with my patients, but prenatal patients, is one of the first things I hear is that they slept better or they have started sleeping better. Whether that's they had really bad hip pain and they couldn't lay on their side and you can't lay on your back, you can't lay on your belly. Like there's not a lot of places, you know, there's only two other spots to lay. So whether we've gotten rid of that hip pain is part of maybe why they were sleeping better, but whether it's laying on that side and sleeping better, or there's just the aspect of there is more calmness and more regulation to the nervous system. So that's when I get to dive deep with those patients and we go past the, okay, we're past the pain points. I'm glad the pain points maybe got someone in, but now we can dive deep into what's the real intricacies of what's going on with care and how is it impacting like how your nervous system functions. So yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's what I love. And that's what we don't talk enough about, that, mm-hmm. you know, absence of pain is not optimization, right? That's mm-hmm. just, okay, we're just getting by. You could still have a more balanced nervous system and more regulated nervous system, which then is, you know, setting yourself up for success and housing and growing this beautiful baby in this more optimized condition, right? And then you're just stronger heading into birth.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's like, it's put you that much further ahead in the birthing process. You know, when I go through, when I'm working with new patients, we do some nervous system scans to really assess, you know, different parts of the nervous system and how it's functioning. And we sit down and I go over like, yes, I want you to feel better, but I want you to function better. And that less than 10% of the nervous system is devoted to the sensation of pain. If you're feeling pain, I'm like, we got some work to do, because it's kind of like, that's what led up to it. And you know, you probably see this too. I'm like, you get people coming in their 30s and 40s. And I'm like, okay, we have 30 and 40 years of things to unwind. Here we go. So it's those little cumulative things. So pain is not always, pain's that like last resort. That's the body throwing, you know, bricks at you because it was trying to, you know, function the best it can and you maybe listening to some symptoms, but yeah.
Right. Well, and that we kind of say too, it's like your body's going to whisper. And then if it you don't listen, mm-hmm. it's going to talk to you, then it's going to scream at you if you're, uh-huh. you know, and so, yeah. And I've heard that too from different practitioners that we have like 80% of our awareness is subconscious, is like we are just not privy to that information because we have billions of hits of information coming into our nervous system every second. Mm-hmm. And we can only focus on 40 things per second, which is still a lot. If we had to sit here and say, okay, I can think of the temperature in the room and, you know, maybe my mental state or like the surface I'm sitting on. I mean, I can't even think of 40 different things that my nervous system is dealing with every second, but then to really know there's billions of inputs coming in. So when your awareness gets to that pain level, it's kind of gotten through all that background noise and it's starting to scream at you because it really needs to be tended to. But mm-hmm. wouldn't it be better if we could start optimizing everything, even if it's at this subconscious level, and help us feel better and prepare for birth better? There's so many unknowns with birth and variables anyway. If we can mm-hmm. try to, you know, head into it with the best situation possible, I think would be amazing. So thank you for that. I think that was amazing mm-hmm. to kind of lay the groundwork, especially for people who don't know and don't believe in chiropractic. As a pelvic PT, I refer everyone to chiropractors, you know, mm-hmm. especially when they're pregnant. But, you know, it's like, hey, just have an assessment. They do things differently than I do things. I'd love mm-hmm. to have their eyes on you and them helping as well with their, you know, your wheelhouse. And then with pregnancy, same thing. It does not matter if they're having pain or not. I just say you need to have a chiropractor on your team, period, right? Ideally, if you can. But now let's get into this topic of the Webster technique. What is it and how does that specifically help?
Yes. So there's over 200 different techniques in the chiropractic world, which I feel like is good and bad. Like, yay, you know, we can take care of any type of spine, but also bad. And then like people, you know, you go to five different chiropractors, you get five different things. You don't really know what's going on or what's real, what's right, what's normal. So I think one big thing to think is that the pregnant pelvis and the pregnant body is different. And so having someone that does know and understand the nuances of a pregnant body, I think is important. So that's what, you know, led to Webster Technique. It was created by Larry Webster. And it essentially is a pelvic and sacral chiropractic analysis and adjustment to help restore the neurobiomechanical function of the pelvis. So looking at that, it's the neuro, the nervous system aspect of what's going on in the pelvis, but the biomechanical, so the physical alignment as well too. And so it's kind of looking at both aspects of that. So that is Webster Technique by definition.
Yeah. And so why would someone want to seek out a Webster trained chiropractor versus someone who hasn't been Webster trained when they're pregnant?
Right. So that's, again, to alluding to, we've got that specific pregnant body knowledge. And so the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association, the ICPA, they're the ones that do the Webster Technique training. My dear friend, colleague, mentor, Dr. Pamela Stone is the instructor now for it. And so are one of the instructors now. They've added so many because we have so many chiropractors now that need it and want the information. So they offer the training. And I'll give you the link to the website because they have a website. You can put your zip code in and you can find a Webster trained chiropractor near you. You can find a diplomate. You can find someone that's certified in pediatrics. Like it's all aspects of pediatric and prenatal care that's in there. So, because they're all over the world, which is exciting. So when that Webster technique is a training that's taken and that's where the technique looks at it's pelvis and sacrum. So we work on bone, muscle, and ligament on the posterior side of the patient, bone, muscle, and ligament on the anterior side of the patient. That's Webster technique, like that pelvis and sacral analysis. Most chiropractors, and like I said, there's 200 different techniques. So you're going to have people that are upper cervical and they're only working top bone in the neck. So there's differences here. But I look at, I'm more of a diversified full spine, what we call. And so I do manual hands-on adjusting, but we're looking at the full spine as well too. So because everything's connected in the body and we can adjust pelvis and sacrum all day. But if we've got some anterior head translation, we have the ear in front of the shoulder and we're adding 10 pounds of pressure to the spine, then it's globally, it's not just neck pain. So everything, you know, everything's connected. So then looking at the rest of the body as well too, but it's really understanding and having someone that knows the specifics of what to do, because not every pelvis needs to be adjusted the same way, especially in pregnancy, because you can have a very hypermobile pelvis. And with that, maybe what we call drop technique is when the table pops up and drops down. Sometimes that's not the best option. We need more of a gentle technique, or so maybe a little bit more tonal, a little bit more gentle touch, and looking, just having, you want that person to understand those nuances and to recognize when something needs to be adjusted a certain way, when something doesn't need to be adjusted as well too.
Mm, great. So you kind of almost maybe answered my next question. Are there any risks or contraindications that people need to be aware of? I assume that's part of the Webster, you know, technique is like when to know you're hypermobile, we're not going to really do this to the full extent. We need to do something else or not do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely going to be certain conditions there. I've got, you know, if you've got a health history, everybody's, you know, individual biochemical individuality and individual spine. So I've got quite a few moms that have maybe had fusions in the low back or something like that. So that's obviously, you know, we're going to tread lightly there. You can still adjust. That's great. I'm not going to adjust a segment that's like literally fused, but I can make sure that like above and below is moving well, maybe doing a gentle adjustment that way too. The other aspects, it's doing a detailed health history. I think that's something that the ICPA does teach as well. And we've learned that in school, knowing in general when to adjust and when not to adjust. And so doing that detailed health history, that's the other, you know, that's another component too, because you got some moms that come in with high blood pressure and things like that and preeclampsia. And so it's like, those are going to be different cases and different ways we handle things. So,
yeah, that's great. I'd love to hear a success story from you, and I can tell the opposite. So I had a patient recently who is, you know, coming to me during her second pregnancy, and she was just aware that she wants to do things differently than the first pregnancy. And talking with her, I said, "Oh, are you seeing a chiropractor?" She's like, "Well, I have a chiropractor." I'm like, "Okay, tell me about that." You know, she was going to this big corporate chain, and her husband together went, and both of them together, I think they were in and out, she said, in 5 minutes, maybe 10, maybe it was 5 minutes apiece, but it was like a ridiculously short amount of time. And I remember her saying, oh yeah, in the beginning of my pregnancy, I asked them, oh, I hear about this Webster. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. We can help pregnant women. So they were not Webster certified, but she said, okay. And he's like, yeah, we're going to do this. This is Webster. And she said she had a little bit of a different adjustment that first visit, but then every time she came back, and she didn't think to speak up for herself and say anything, but she noted the things they did that first visit, they didn't do another visit. And she literally got the same adjustment every time. So it's like, they come in, they drop a cervical, they do like two things, and that was it.
We call it the flying sevens in the office, because it's just like, oh, you do the same. And there's terms for it in the chiropractic world. Most of us don't like that type of, you get this,
Right. And so you have to look at, you know, who are you going to see, I think, for quality chiropractic care is like, how much time do they spend with you? And I don't think it takes a long time. It can be 15, 20 minutes, but it's not five, right? And are they differentiating? Are they assessing you even just by what you're saying, by what you're telling them? There has to be some kind of like variety when you come in based on what you're saying. And then, and I do think even at the bare minimum, if you're going to see a Webster certified chiropractor, then you're seeing someone who has invested their time to learn more about the pregnant body. And so if someone is burnt out and they're seeing 100 people a day in these corporate, you know, chiropractic care, you know, places or clinics, you know, they're not taking the time to further their education, to get more, you know, I feel like even if you just look at someone who's willing to invest the time to do the best for their patients, their pregnant patients, I think that says volumes. But do you have an actual success story or someone, I mean, you do Webster, so it's any of your success stories, but some where you thought, oh yeah, the Webster technique really caught this in a person or helped this with someone?
One comes to mind. It was, because it's kind of, and I feel bad sharing it just a little bit, because it's kind of like, oh, one adjustment and this was great. Like, I'm like, ah, I hate that, because it's not always one adjustment. But the one aspect of this patient was really cool, because she was coming in for a VBAC. She's coming in late in the game. So, you know, we already have our work cut out for us. So ideally, I wanted, you know, a lot more adjustments than we got in. In talking with her, I was able to get her, she switched providers. I'm talking like right at the end, because it just wasn't, they weren't supportive of what she wanted to, you know, of her birth plan and what she was trying to accomplish. But she came in, that's not why she came in, but she came in for sciatic pain and like not being able to move well. And so when you've already got a child to take care of, that's another thing I see in the office. Oh, if we can move better now, I can care for the child I already have and, you know, feel better in my body. And so she was able to move. Like, she could not kneel down. Like, it was really hard getting up and down off of the floor. And so she went into labor on her own at this new facility where she was going to birth. And she gave birth, had her vaginal birth, and she was able to kneel. So she did that with one knee up, you know, one knee on the ground. And I still get chills from that, because I was like, oh, that's so cool. Because I can't remember how many adjustments she had, but it wasn't a lot. But I was like, wow, that like really showed, now she was able to give birth. Cause you know, it's just, I don't know. I just really, really enjoyed working with her. Yeah.
That's incredible. And you could say that's an actual functional test. Like, okay, she cannot assume this position.
Yeah.
And or it's like extremely painful when you have pain of labor, like you're not going to be doing that. Right. So the fact that she could do it in labor just showed that you helped that body, you know, her body to be able to do that. And that helped her birth and get her VBAC. I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That was really, really cool. You know, I do wish that, and we spoke a bit earlier on the aspect of time and adjustments and taking care of patients, but then unwinding. And I do always kind of wish that moms had started under care earlier. I've had midwives message me before, and they're always like, I've got a mom, she's 40 weeks, we're trying to avoid this, can you adjust her? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm always like, yes. And then in my, you know, I go back and I'm like, oh, where were we earlier? Like, it just, it makes it so much more difficult. That's all.
I agree. And I think that's education that we need to get more out there. I'm the same way with perineal massage. A, you don't need to massage the perineum. We need to assess and address any pelvic floor and muscle tightness in the entire pelvic bowl, not just right at the opening. Hello. But I know that's where most people tear, but like, the rest of it affects everything too. So like not waiting to the end for perineal massage, and for you, not waiting, the same with pelvic PT in person, like don't wait to the end, you know? So ideally, tell us a little bit about your experience. So you see that when you have not ever had adjustments, it takes time to unwind, is what you're saying? Like all the habit patterns or the movement things, you know, have been going on. And so so talk a little bit about that. Like how long does it take to unwind years? And I know every case
lifetime,
is so different.
No.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like you can't even probably say like 6 months or something easy like that. But like, so ideally, would you like to see people before pregnancy? Like they're newlyweds and they know what's on the horizon, even if it's 5 years out, establish care with someone, know that you like them, start optimizing your body even before conception. Would that make sense?
That's ideal. Ideally, you're working with both members of the couple because it takes two to tango. So like the other person's nervous system is just as important as mom's nervous system. You know, yes, there's that aspect of, I would prefer that. That's not always the case. So I definitely don't want to turn anyone away. And myself, I didn't get adjusted my second pregnancy until I was 36 weeks because it was kind of like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something. So I get it. And that's why I'm always like, yes, I am here. Let's do this. But I'm always, always like, I can't guarantee anything, you know? And I'm like, and usually we're seeing you a little bit more often than like per week than we would normally potentially. Care plans are different for everybody. And so everybody's coming in with different things as well too. So as far as like unwinding things, you know, if you've got a history of gymnastics that presents different problems, I just see a lot of gymnast moms. And so that's why that comes to mind. Broken ankles, broken feet, that can throw everything off in the pelvis. If we've had a boot and no matter how long ago, did we unwind that? Did we learn some movement patterns? Did we have a kid before and we're always popping that hip out? And now, you know, there's so much to it. So are we ever going to truly unwind everything? I mean, I hope so, but I want us to respond appropriately. So I want our nervous system and our body to respond appropriately to like stressors. And so in that, it's not the aspect of removing all the stressors, but I like to bring in awareness, you know? So I'm like, okay, if we are carrying this kid and we can't switch hips, we know that this is going to do this. It's going to give this insult to the pelvis and to the spine. So what can we do if we can't change what we're holding and how we're doing that? Then what are the things that we can counteract it? And can we counterbalance it? Certain exercises, I'm sure you go through that with like pelvic PT. I'm like, can we do some regular adjustments? Can we just bring that awareness to that, what needs to be unwound as well? So yeah, I don't know. It takes a lifetime.
truly. And really you keep living life, you know, so unless you're aware of these things
and that's
habit
where
patterns and you change it.
Exactly. And that's why I always say, like, I'm not removing the stressors, but I really want our nervous system to respond appropriately. Like if we do need to run from a bear, I want us to run from a bear, but I don't want us to keep running from a bear when we're at home asleep in bed. Does that, you know? And so that's where I'm looking at with care too. Cause again, it's not just those pain points. Yes. We're adjusting the spine, but the nervous system is also connected to that and controls all the functions of the body. So,
yeah, I definitely didn't get that message. That is like the perfect message. I remember when I was in PT school, I really felt like they trained us, like ingrained in us, a distrust of chiropractic. And so we come out of PT school and I remember, and this is me just being totally honest, when I was a young baby PT, I would have patients say, oh, I'm also seeing a chiropractor. What do you think about that? And I hate to admit that, like, it was years that I would say, you know, this is the analogy that came up. It was too many cooks in the kitchen. I want to know if what I'm doing is going to help, or if, you know, I flare you up and then we think it's them. And we know it was like less variables to mess with. And I am totally the opposite now, like completely like 360 or 180,
whatever. Can everybody assemble and come in?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now I'm like, how do people just not get this? Like we all need this all. And, and that's what you're saying there, where it's like, okay, you're still going to live life. So you can unwind, but you're never there. It's kind of like processing your trauma or dealing with, you know, your childhood. It's like, you're never fully actualized, right? We always have life coming up and bringing up stuff or, you know, so I feel like, again, in the PT world, we were taught, and I don't agree with it, like you have a patient and you have a finite plan of care. And it's like, you start and you have a discharge date. And now I'm like, baloney, I'm your PT for life, right? Like, mm-hmm. you need me, you come back. Even if it's the same thing, no judgment. If it's something different, I'm here for you. And the same thing with chiropractic. I remember when I was a baby PT and I thought, oh, well, they're not really getting anyone better if you have to keep going back. What an immature, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it, and now yeah. I just see the folly of my sense. Youth. Like, mm-hmm. yes, it does make sense. Like, we're never going to be, and I look at with my kids, like, they fall all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know your body can adjust, you know, you got 2 weeks and now it's like kind of starting to create habits out of that compensatory pattern. So it's mm-hmm. like, it makes sense to me. They need to go, I'm not falling, you know, unless I play soccer, but like, you know, so they, I think they need to even go more because they're just so active with their body and they're just doing so much and putting so many different demands on it that there's mm-hmm. accidents happen. Right. You know, and just, but the way we see it as adults is we have these habitual patterns and caring for kids or sitting at a desk, there's just different, you know, different things. Mm-hmm. But so I know you yeah. said, you know, everyone is different. Every kind of care plan is different. But if you had like an ideal scenario, right. And again, everyone's different. If you're having more pain, you're going to come in more often and that totally makes sense. So let's say if someone is just going for wellness, they don't have any thing that they're aware of right now, you may find something and they start earlier in pregnancy or as early as you would want, maybe, you know, before, but when, say, yeah, say you've been working with them before pregnancy, they're not having any issues. What would that care plan look like throughout the pregnant journey? Ideally, mm-hmm. if you yeah. could.
No, and I can speak to, you know, different aspects of it. We've got this going on. This is what I typically see. Because okay. I do have, when patients do reach out, they kind of want what to expect. And so I kind of go right. through like, well, if we've got this going on, this is more than likely what it's going to be. But, you know, again, everybody coming in is different. And I will preface this. This is like me specifically, because every office is so different. There's other offices that are doing completely tonal work and only using instruments to completely tonal work and not osseous manual adjusting. So I feel like when you've got those different techniques, there's different trainings with it. And so then there's different, you know, care plan aspects of things. So I do want to, you know, disclaimer on that. This is my office and doing full spine manual diversified adjustments. But if we've got not too much going on, I feel like sometimes, well, I do these nervous system scans. So we assess, we do surface thermography. So we're looking at autonomic part of the nervous system. And then I'm able to do a surface electromyography for the spinal muscles. And so looking for tension, stress, and strain there. So I use that as well as an objective measure for care. So then you've got your pain points and your motion palpation. And if you've had x-rays and all of those other things that you're using to come up with this, you know, care plan. Because sometimes I have people coming in and they've got wellness, you know, and they're fine. And then I do see stress on the nervous system from those scans. So that's where I come in and the care plan might differ in maybe we don't get to wellness care quite as quickly as you might think, but I'm using all of these tools. Because again, it's not just the pain points. I want to get you out of pain, but it's more than that, right? So my wellness care for the office is I like to see people 2 times a month, you know, just that's kind of that check-in. That's where I try to get people to. During pregnancy, I probably don't get people into wellness care until like after postpartum, because baby is growing, you're growing, like it's, there's a lot of insults to the nervous system. So it's like our maintenance is maybe once a week at that point. You know, if there's maybe some issues or something going on, it could be twice a week. If it's late in the game and we've got breach, it's like we're doing 3 times a week, you know, something along those lines. But yeah.
And that makes sense. So if everything is kind of, you're just kind of touching in, you know, less frequently, but like I said, like, I mean, I always tell people with pregnancy, your body is changing. You haven't done anything wrong. Much. It's just your hips are literally moving and now they're sore because they're strained from dealing with these different forces from gravity. And so like no blame, but you do need more regular care. I've definitely heard that from other chiropractors too. So that makes complete sense. Just to back up a little bit, you mentioned, I hadn't heard that term before, like the tonal versus the osseous. Like, can you go into a little bit more about that?
Right. So there are, I mean, with chiropractic care, there's I do feel that there's like an energy exchange too. So we're, not only are we the physical aspects of adjusting pelvis, sacrum with Webster technique, or just the spine in general, but I do feel that there's also this, just the movement and shifting of energy, stuck energy sometimes. I know that's going to sound super woo-woo, but there's that element to it as well too. So there are, and like I said, I can't speak for some of these tonal techniques, but there's BGI, there's network spinal analysis, NSA, and they work a little bit more in that energetic field. And yep. So you can get, and like with the baby, I'm not, when I'm adjusting an infant, I'm not doing like manual osseous spinal adjustments where it's like move, you know, it's very, very grandiose. It doesn't take much for those adjustments. You know, it's usually a gentle touch and it's usually about the, you know, what you would test the ripeness of a tomato. You can do those adjustments on adults as well too. And so, I mean, I do cranial work and that's not a lot of, you know, movement shifting of bones there, but it's more of a gentle. So that's kind of the hand techniques that are more what we call tonal. And we're looking at that tone of the body. And then there's adjustments with instruments. So you've got TRT, which is a specific instrument that you've got the activator. So a lot of times kids call it the clicker. I got some kids that call it the stapler because it sounds like a stapler when you click it. I'm like, please don't tell people I'm stapling you.
Yeah, I know.
It's so funny. But so you've got those, which are just deemed kind of an extension of the hand for adjusting. And there's protocols and there's a whole understanding of how the instrument adjustment works. And there's other ones too. Yeah, there's just lots of other ones. I can't speak for all like the techniques, but it makes it crazy, you know, in school, because you learn all these different things. It's like, okay, well, which technique do I align with? And, you know, what works best for me? Because everybody's different as a practitioner, every office, you know, every practitioner is different. So you're, you know, certain people will come based on what they want and what they need with their body. So.
That makes complete sense. And that as you were speaking, I was like, wow, I think in PT school, we only learned like osseous. It was very much, you have a joint and you move it this amount and we'd grade it 1 through 4. And it's very objective, you know, objective-ish, I guess. And, but only when I got out and, you know, then I found my calling was more into like the fascial world, which I think is more what you're talking about, like the tonal world. It's like, how does you're not in a silo. I mean, yeah, that joint is working, but that joint could be having referred pain from an organ, and you know your nervous system has to feel safe for you to even release some things, and and have the fascia and all the So I mean that like that's the fun stuff I like.
Yeah. So you mentioned I know, and I'm glad you mentioned this. Yes, fascia. That's like a word I was looking for. I love it. I love it. Minus the foam roller, that thing hurts. But that's it. Doesn't sometimes it doesn't really take a really big touch to release things. And that's where too, with Webster technique, it's bone, muscle, and ligament. So we're working on, you know, on the posterior side, working on pelvis and sacrum, we're working on psoas muscle, and then we work on sacrotuberous ligament. So like all of those, it's not like osseous, you know, adjustments. It's muscle, it's fascial work, but you know, that's all connected there too. So
yeah, there's like the art and the science. So it's like the science is like the osseous technique and the art is the you have to have, I mean, I almost had to like unlearn, you know, you're used to using a certain amount of pressure to get to the joint, especially like the hip. Oh my God, it's such a big joint. But you know, when now you're talking with like such a fine touch, you feel like you're doing nothing. And yet the patient's like, oh my gosh, I feel like my right hip just opened up, or I feel like, you know, my bladder pain is gone. I mean, it's just like crazy stuff with like the gentlest touch. Right. So it's that.
Well, yeah. And I always get people too, where it's like, oh, cause you get, I call them like their chiropractor patient, you know, they'll be like, oh, this still feels here and this didn't go and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I do know that people like know their body as well too, but I'm like, it doesn't always, you know, I always going to have a sound with an adjustment too. Yeah. That's just, you know, that's just nitrogen gas being released. That doesn't mean that, that something was adjusted. So I think sometimes too, that's a little bit of.
I've had people tell me like, well, I don't feel like I get adjusted unless I hear the snap, crackle, pop. And I'm like, oh
yeah.
Well, I think in different expectations, like you don't really need to have that happen to have it be successful and achieve effective. Really. And that's awesome. Is there any other advice that you would give pregnant women or anything else that we didn't cover today that you wanted to make sure we talk about?
That I did an episode on, I have a podcast as well with a doula friend, and I did an episode and she and I had done a few, she did like a hot take on like doulas. And I was doing a hot take on like chiropractors and kind of like some of the misnomers that you hear. And so I did one and it was about how chiropractic care is more than just like back pain and headaches. And so I want to go just over a little bit of the, and kind of what you mentioned, you'd said something about like the releasing fear and the surrender. And I'm so glad you did that because it reminded me like, and that's a little bit of when I had discovered chiropractic in my story as well too. Cause yes, I do know that the adjustments helped with my pelvis and sacral alignment, even though it was, you know, late in the game, but I was able to have my V back and baby position was better. Just all of those things. Cause we were able to help him turn during labor, but there was the aspect of feeling safe in your body. So, and it's, there's the aspect of being able this is what I mean, respond appropriately. I want your nervous system in labor. Yeah, you're going to have like a rush of adrenaline and it's like, okay, we're getting ready to have birth. But if we're going to go into a hospital setting that like, it smells horrible, it looks horrible, it feels horrible, like all of those things that doesn't promote like a safe feeling. And it really keeps you in frontal lobe instead of allowing to surrender, going into that primitive brain and really giving into birth. And so with care, I'm looking at that aspect of as well too, of I want mom to feel safe in her body and able to surrender to birth. And I look at that a little bit as impacting vagus nerve, because that's a real main parasympathetic nerve. And it's actually not part of the brain stem or the spinal cord. So it's a cranial nerve. And it comes out kind of right behind the ear, circles around and goes to the throat, goes to the heart and the lungs, and it goes in, it innervates into the intestines as well. So that's that brain, gut brain connection. And adjustments can impact vagus nerve, which can, that's that feeling of safeness and helping facilitate that. So that is one of my big things with the adjustments. It's kind of like people come in for the pain point aspect, but I hope that they begin to understand that. And then it grows into having a doula can help you feel safe, and understanding pushing positions and understanding your pelvic floor can help you feel safe, you know, and how does your OB and can we set up the birth cave? That's why it's so important. It's not because it's going to be pretty pictures with twinkle lights. Like it's more of, does that promote that feeling of safety and letting you surrender? Because I think that's the biggest part of birth is being able to surrender, because it's unknown. Each and every birth is unknown. And it's so hard to do. And so anything that we can kind of help that nervous system regulate better, I think can help that birthing process.
I agree. I completely agree. And, you know, a little, I don't know, it's off topic, but I think that we need more support for birthing people in this country. And the way I look at it is the more contacts you have, the better, because it's just not normalized to even talk about. Everyone's scared. Even for number two, I was surprised that I was nervous heading into my second birth, because I wanted a different birth than my first birth. Right. And so, you know, so then you feel like, oh, I can't voice that. I should be an experienced mom here. This is not my first rodeo. But we don't talk about that. So the more times, you know, if you have your chiropractor and you can, you know, and something comes up and you can voice it and say, oh, you know, what about this? Just yesterday, I was talking with a patient who, it's her third baby. And she said, you know, I don't even really want to ask this, but like, can we prevent prolapse? Like, is there any signs or symptoms of like how I'm showing now that would help you see that or make you think that maybe I'll be dealing with that postpartum this time? Like, you know what? And so we had a really nice conversation about that. And I was so happy that she even felt comfortable to bring that up to me, because the more that you can process any of those little feelings, you just stuff them down, they're going to come up, but you know, it's going to affect your birth. And so, you know, having someone who's Webster trained and they're certified and they're talking to pregnant women all the time, you know, and they hear these stories, maybe they've had their own stories because they've had their own babies, but it's like more of these, you know, you're seeing a massage therapist, these points of contact to even talk things through, I think will help with that sense of safety too. So, you know, if someone's on the fence of like, you know, I have the funds, I just, you know, do I make the time? Is this really worth it? Yes, absolutely. Yes. And we're talking about, okay, you know, find a chiropractor. Absolutely. But really take the time to find the Webster certified chiropractor and, you know, invest in that. I do think it's worth it. And we will absolutely link, I think you gave me the link to that, but I'll link to that, those episodes on the Aligned Birth podcast. Highly recommend it. Your podcast is great. And also that ICPA.
ICPA.
Yep. Great. Mm-hmm. For some reason, ASPCA was in my mind. I'm like, no, that's not.
Yeah, I know. Which letters is this one?
I know.
And there's also a best practices guidelines as well too. So even if someone wants to dive deeper into pregnancy and prenatal care, that goes through kind of the literature search and literature review of prenatal chiropractic care. And so I can kind of give that link too, if people want to.
Oh, that'd be great.
Some light reading, but I know. But yeah, no, it's good. But it's, you know, it's important for people to understand the training and the knowledge that goes behind it as well too. And so knowing like, okay, when you see someone that is Webster certified, this is what it means. And then this is the best practices for prenatal chiropractic care. Like it's, you know, every provider should have something along those lines.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely. Send that to me and I'll include that in the show notes. So how can people find you and work with you and listen to you on your podcast?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I do have the Aligned Birth podcast. You can listen wherever we're hosted on Buzzsprout, but you can listen on whatever listening platform you like. And I do that with my doula friend, Doula Rachel. And we just sit and have conversations typically around, prenatal, pediatric, postpartum, motherhood conversations. So we've been doing that for a bit. And then my office is Sunrise Chiropractic and Wellness. So I'm in the Kennesaw area, so kind of North Metro Atlanta. And so that's the website and then social media as well. So Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
All the things.
That's it. All the things.
Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation. This was incredible. And I thought so enlightening and really super helpful. So I just thank you for your time and all your expertise and your help.
Thanks for having me. This is wonderful. I love talking about it. And I'm very, very grateful that you wanted me to come on the show.
I appreciate it.
This content is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. Please discuss any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition with your physician or a qualified healthcare professional. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests.